And we're back with a third season of the RSM River Mechanics Podcast, a series of long-form interviews on sediment transport, fluvial geomorphology, and river processes. I'm Stanford Gibson, and I host a sediment transport and river process podcast is something I find myself saying these days, you know, out loud and unironically. Because over the last year, this project has transformed from an attempt to build institutional memory by talking to senior federal river scientists into a more classic podcast format, where I've just reached out to the people that I've learned from over the years, either in person or through their body of work, and just asked if we could try to make that learning scale by recording a conversation. Which means that the next couple of seasons, we'll still have conversations with several insightful federal river process experts, including some absolute legends. But I have started visiting more campuses, talking to researchers and academics who have done a lot of the important original investigation that practical river management restoration builds on, or at least that it should build on. And season three has both. Agency scientists and university researchers who together built my mental model of river processes over the last 20 years, and even more so in the process of prepping, recording, and producing these interviews. And I am excited to finally share that, because if you are a river person of almost any persuasion, I think you're going to find the information density and the insight ROI on these conversations well worth your time. We'll kick things off next week with a conversation with David Montgomery from the University of Washington, who's published some of the most cited work on high gradient rivers and the role of wood in the river corridors of the Pacific Northwest, as well as a paper on incipient motion that I would list in my personal top 10 most influential. But Dr. Montgomery has also written six popular books, including works like Dirt, The Hidden Half of Nature, and What Your Food Ate, books about how soil and sediment interact with humans and our civilization on an astounding range of temporal scales. And he actually made the case that sediment dynamics are directly responsible for no less than, how about human civilization as we know it?
What sedimentation created was a new kind of habitat that didn't have top-level carnivores, right? Guess who moved in? So we were omnivores. We moved in, started using those, you know, very biologically productive landscapes, and they were also good places to farm.
So post-glacial sediment processes created a niche for humans.
It set the stage for the rise of sort of large complex civilization.
Then we talked to Marcelo Garcia from the University of Illinois Urbana in an epic conversation that will span two episodes. In the process of surveying the formation and content of the ASC Sedimentation Manual, a landmark work which he edited, Dr. Garcia somehow walked us through more stories about the last 100 years of sediment science than we could fit in a single episode. Then, I returned to Urbana a couple months ago because Marcelo and the Urbana team hosted the Symposium on River, Coastal, and Estuary Morphodynamics, RCEM, which is always a ridiculous convergence of river process expertise from all over the world. So I brought my podcast gear and got to talk to two European scientists whose work I've followed and admired for years. Oster Blom from Delft talked to us about sand and gravel dynamics on multiple scales, as well as the incision on the Rhine.
One of the bigger problems in Dutch water management is the current channel bed erosion. It's a problem that has been ongoing for decades. It's not a new problem. But the problems related to it, they have increased with time.
Yeah.
Certain parts of the channel bed, they don't erode.
Okay.
Because they are man-made fixed beds, or they have a natural tendency to be hard to erode. And then with the surrounding bed that does erode, those fixed beds tend to stick out more and more from the bed. And that's problematic for navigation also, especially during drought.
Dr. Blom also talked about what they're doing about that river incision, and some remarkable and counterintuitive river mechanics principles emerged. And we talked to Elaine Recking, who works on very high gradient sediment transport in the French Alps. Dr. Recking has done remarkable field, flume, and big data work on gravel transport. And Elaine also told the story of how he came to realize that we need to reframe our expectations of equilibrium in these really high gradient channels.
And when I did my first run, my first objective was to reproduce one of the first rules of the morphodynamics you see in any books. You inject a mixture in a flume, and if you wait sufficiently long time, you should obtain some kind of equilibrium slope. It means that the slope should stabilize to a given value, and what is exported at flume outlet should be equal to what you, the feeding. This is the equilibrium concept. It was a half meter long, 20 centimeter wide flume. It's not very big, and for me, in a few hours, I would reach my condition.
Sure.
And I could start measuring. 20 hours later, I was still waiting for my cambium. It was very, very long. It's very stressing, but I got it. I stabilized my bed. It was 2% slower bed, I remember very well. And I was very happy because I could start measuring my conditions. And then it was a big disaster because all the bed collapsed in a few minutes. In a few minutes, all the material was exported from the flume in a big, big, big erosion. It was very impressive.
I also had the opportunity to visit my primary sediment mentor, who I actually hadn't seen in a while, and which, frankly, was a delight. I talked with Tony Thomas, who we at the Corps consider the father of numerical sediment modeling. Tony Thomas is probably one of the very few people alive who have been modeling sediment long enough to see how his 50-year forecast actually played out. And he had insight on a huge range of modeling and river process topics. But he also told the story of how numerical sediment modeling began, which you've probably heard if you've ever taken a class I've taught, because I retell it every chance I get. But it's a story that's just better in his telling, and it gets started like this.
In hydraulics branch, at that time, all the work was done manually, slide rules and adding machines. And so they had to take 400 miles of river and somehow or the other reduce it into computations that they could do manually. And what they did is they took us over to a drafting table, and they got us one of the little triangular engineering scales and a calculator. So we started working there in September, October, November, and come Christmas, we were still working on these 80 to the 2/3 curves. When I walked out the door of the federal building after that quarter, I swore I would never work in hydraulics. But in the meantime, I knew that Little Rock District had acquired an electronic computer because I was walking down the hall one day, about this time of year.
Yeah.
And they had the door to the computer room open, and they were playing Christmas music. The computer was called a Bendix G15, and it had a drum memory, 2,000 words total.
Yeah.
But that was enough to get us started.
Now, while we are primarily a physical science podcast, I think most of the practitioners that follow this project are also interested in river ecology. And I don't know anyone who has explored the impacts of sediment processes on food webs and trophic cascades more than Mary Power, who directs the Power Lab at UC Berkeley. We talked to Dr. Power about all sorts of interactions between river mechanics and river ecology, including topics resonant in both fields, like disturbance and alternative stable states. But we also spent some time exploring her work on the Eel River, which is just my favorite ecogeomorph story and another one I often tell in my classes, and which she delivered with a phenomenally evocative metaphor.
I had a postdoc at the time, and he and I both noticed that, oh, California's gone into a drought. We didn't have the scouring winter floods. No, there was no bed mobilization in the previous winter. And what changed was there's a very large caddisfly, mostly stone-cased and large enough that most of the predators in our system can't eat them, became one or two orders of magnitude denser when they had a drought, a flood-free winter.
If you have a year where you don't get bed mobilization, you have more of these creatures. Why?
If you're stone-cased, you have more ballast, so you're going to get ground up.
You're essentially bedload.
Yeah. Your silk case isn't strong enough to withstand what's going on in mobilized sediments. So there's a lot of mortality in a bed scour. I like to sometimes make students think of these grazing algal-based food chains in rivers as being like you look over Sonoma where all the Holsteins are grazing and suddenly the whole earth churns up and rocks and boulders are grinding up the cattle and just there's blood everywhere, you know? So that's life underwater in a river.
We also did a couple experimental episodes this season. We recorded a conference panel discussion with four sediment model developers that was one of the most attended sessions at the SedHide conference, and I think just delivers a ridiculous modeling tip per minute yield rate. And I got together with my friend Jim Selligan, sediment subject matter expert at the Corps Detroit District and professor at Wayne State, and we held a classic river mechanics paper draft, where we took turns picking classic works like we were picking a schoolyard football team or some sort of fantasy sports lineup. And then we made our case for why these works really matter.
So, with the first pick in the 2023 RSM draft, I'm choosing...
Nope, you're not getting spoilers here. You'll have to tune in for Jim's first pick and the eight or so classic papers we discuss. And we may have some other experimental shorts as the season unfolds, but we'll wrap up with a conversation with Peter Wilcock, most recently from Utah State. Peter is one of the foundational figures in gravel transport. He's the Wilcock in the Wilcock and Crow transport function, and his influence on the gravel transport field and my understanding of those processes in particular cannot be overestimated. We talked to Peter about as many of his classic and recent ideas as I could fit in the conversation, including Wilcock-Crow, mixed grain size transport, armor layer destruction, restoration channel design, and a really helpful new-to-me idea called the overcapacity threshold channel, as well as partial transport.
Partial transport means that some of the grains that were on the bed surface before an event are still there after the event. And, you know, that has relevance to both engineering questions of incision, but also ecological questions of bed disturbance during a flow. I mean, one of the first things I teach in my transport class, you know, linking flows to shear stress, to critical shear stress, what is the discharge that will move the sediment in the bed? And we like to come up with a number.
Yeah.
But that implies that the flow's going up, none of the grains are moving, you hit the magic flow and they all go, what? And they run off down the channel. I mean, that doesn't make sense. There's going to be a range of flows over which the different sizes move. And that is maybe messier, but it's real.
And there it is, season 3. We'll be releasing episodes on Fridays about every 2 weeks through the first few months of the new year. If you have guest recommendations or podcast feedback, you can find me on LinkedIn, or there's a feedback Google form on the podcast website and in the episode notes. We're already booking the next couple seasons, and I'll be starting those interviews next month, including some guests I have always wanted to talk to. But I'm interested in who you would like to hear from, so let me know. I'm Stanford Gibson, sediment subject matter expert at the Corps of Engineers, and the sediment specialist on the HEC RAS team, or you know, HEC RAS, as everyone outside our center calls it. And this is the RSM River Mechanics Podcast, which is a product of the Corps of Engineers Regional Sediment Management R&D program and their educational initiative that we like to call RSMU. Check this feed shortly for our first season 3 episode, a pretty epic multi-scale conversation with David Montgomery.